last speaker for this session is Dr. Charles Menard. He's received a master's degree in statistics from Texas A&M, a PhD degree in biostatistics from the University of Texas School of Public Health in Houston. In his previous work, he worked for NASA Bioastronautics as an epidemiologist and lead statistician, where he researched space flight science and Monte Carlo models of medical events during space flight. And he recently joined Baylor College of Medicine in the Texas Medical Center as a research associate, where he participated in a variety of medical research interests and clinical trials. And today he's going to speak to us about combining epidemiology information across space agencies.
Thank you very much for the introduction. The title of my talk is Combining Epidemiologic Information Across Space Agencies. And this work was supported by NASA through the Bioastronautics contract with Wiley Integrated Science and Engineering. First and most importantly, I do not have any personal financial relationships to disclose during the course of the past 12 months. Now, space is an inherently hostile environment. Astronauts and other space travelers are subjected to a very unique set of occupational and environmental exposures. These exposures include, but are certainly not limited to microgravity, solar particle events, and other sources of space radiation, circadian rhythm disruptions, psychosocial issues, living in a confined space with limited resources and altered nutrition. And over the course of 40 years, we still have of spaceflight, we still have relatively little information on the acute and chronic effects of spaceflight exposure. And this is really due to a lack of objective data, which we've acquired because we, for the most part, we have a limited amount of experience of humans in space. We have an incomplete understanding of physiological effects, and there are variations in medical standards over time. And also, we have an inadequate supply of medical resources that are appropriate for spaceflight. And so a lot of these problems have been addressed to date, and we're just now starting to really collect more relevant data. In total, there's really only been 302 astronauts who have flown in space, U.S. astronauts who have flown in space. And the analysis of rare events or subgroups are going to have reduced sample sizes and statistical power. For example, there have only been 129 astronauts who have performed at least one EVA. Only 48 astronauts have participated in long-duration missions, more than 30 days in length. And only 12 astronauts have walked on the moon. But other data does exist. There are other space agencies, the Russian Space Agency, Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, the European Space Agency. All of these other space agencies may have valuable data. But sharing data across these space agencies can present some, it has a lot of legal limitations. The astronaut population represents it's a very small, high-profile population, and if you provide a limited amount of information on a specific astronaut, that information can quickly, easily be used via the internet now to identify that individual. So sharing attributable data may also violate individual agency policies and international laws, such as the Privacy Act of 1974, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, and the Russian Federation also has similar laws pertaining to personal data use. In fact, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has compiled a list of over 1,000 laws, regulations, and guidelines that govern the human research, human subject research in 101 different countries. The link to that document's at the bottom of this slide. So, meta-analysis is one option that might be used to combine non-attributable data. It's commonly used, it's most commonly used to combine summary measures among multiple published studies and occasionally unpublished data if it's available. What we would propose is using the meta-analytic methods to combine summary measures across the space agencies, thereby using non-attributable data and avoiding a lot of the legal problems with sharing attributable health-related data. We will, however, use primarily unpublished data. So, for example, we could consider mortality data among astronauts with military experience. And we wanted to compare them with the Russian Space Agency, and all of the cosmonauts have military experience, so that's why we limited it to this subset. And this table presents the mortality data by spaceflight exposure, have they ever flown in space versus never. And we estimated the association between exposure and death using the risk ratio. And here, the risk ratio was about 0.3. So this argues that, this suggests that astronauts who have been exposed to spaceflight are less likely to be deceased compared to those who have not flown in space, which may be a bit counterintuitive, but we're really just using this as an example. If there was an association, we would expect perhaps an adverse association, which would suggest an unsafe environment for exploring space. Also note that we only have 20 astronauts who have never flown in space. When we recruit astronauts to the Corps, the intention is for them to fly. So this number is small because we don't recruit astronauts just to work terrestrially. We intend to fly them. So how does this data compare with the Russian Space Agency? Here, the risk ratio for the Russian Space Agency is 0.67, so it's more than twice that of the NASA population. And notice that the variance of the log of the risk ratio. The variance is actually smaller in the Russian population compared with the U.S. population. Even though the U.S. population, the NASA astronauts, have a much larger sample size. And the reason that the NASA group has a larger variance is because the incidence of the outcome, death in this case, is relatively low. And when you have a low event rate, you'll have increased variance. So there are several methods that can be used, several meta-analytic methods that can be used to combine this information across space agencies. One of those is the inverse variance method, and this is very popular because it's widely applicable, but it's a fixed effects method. And what that means is it assumes that there's some common effect measure across the space agencies. That is, there's the differences in the effect measures between the observed effect measures for each space agency are due solely to random error. So formally, the Y sub I, the agency-specific effect measure, is equal to some overall common effect measure mu plus some random error E sub I, which has some known variance. To calculate the overall combined measure of effect, we use a weighted average of the agency-specific effect measures, where the weights are determined by the inverse of the variances in this particular case using the inverse variance method. And then the standard error of the overall effect measure is also given as a function of those weights. And there's just a small typo here where it says where W sub I equals the inverse relationship, the WI should have a little hat on top of it. In our example, the Russian Space Agency had a smaller variance, so it's going to be given more weight relative to the NASA population. So you can see here the weight in the NASA group is almost 16 compared to the NASA is 9.3. And the overall combined estimate of the risk ratio is about 0.5, somewhere in between that 0.3 and 0.67. And it is significantly different from the 1.0 mark in the confidence interval. But this is a fixed effects method, and we've assumed that there's a common effect measure. But the 0.3 versus 0.67, that's a pretty big difference. And there is a formal test for heterogeneity of the effect measures across, in this case, space agencies. And that can be calculated as the weighted sum of the agency-specific effect measures minus the overall predicted estimate. And this test statistic Q assumes a chi-square distribution with k minus 1 degrees of freedom, where k is the number of space agencies. And in our example, even though we only have two k equals two agencies, it suggests, the test statistic Q suggests that there may be a meaningful difference between these two agencies. So the inverse variance method may not be the best option, and we might want to explore some random effect methods. It may be more appropriate to model that the variation in the effect measure between the space agencies. Also, Brockwell and Gordon have previously demonstrated that the fixed methods generally yield suboptimal confidence intervals in the presence of heterogeneity and small sample size, or small k's. Some of the alternative analytic methods include the Mantel-Hansel method, which is a fixed effects method, and it's generally used for low event rates with a small k. The Dersimonian and Laird is a random effects method, and it's probably the most commonly used random effects model. It estimates tau squared, the variance between space agencies, but it's assumed to be known, but it does produce suboptimal confidence intervals. The Siddick method is very similar to the Dersimonian method, but it uses a t-distribution, and it has increased coverage probabilities. The profile likelihood method also estimates tau squared, but it also estimates the variance associated with the tau squared, and it does have an increased coverage probability. This figure is from Brockwell, and it compares the profile likelihood method, Dersimonian and Laird, and the simple likelihood function, which is another method that I didn't mention, but it was used in this paper. In this figure, the coverage probability is presented on the y-axis, and the 0.95 coverage probability is marked with a solid horizontal line. And in the first two figures, you can see that tau squared is varied on the x-axis from 0 to 0.1 for k equals 10 and 20. Well, we have k equals 2, but as the point of those figures to note is that as tau squared approaches 0, the profile likelihood approaches the Dersimonian and Laird method. In the bottom two figures, the number of agencies, the number of groups, k, varies from 3 to 35, and you can see that when we have a small k, the profile likelihood function really diverges from the Dersimonian and Laird for the given tau squareds, ranging from 0.03 to 0.07. If we apply these methods to our data set, we can see, first of all, that the risk ratio is the point estimate of the risk ratio is very similar across all of the groups. The Mantel-Hansel method produces a very similar confidence interval for the risk ratio compared to the inverse variance. For both of those methods, the tau squared is assumed to be zero. The Dersimonian and Laird estimates the tau squared to be 0.245, and we have a non-significant difference from 1.0 in the risk ratio. The Siddick method produces the same point estimates as the Dersimonian and Laird, but the confidence interval is so wide that this method is really not going to be useful for our purposes. The profile likelihood does produce a smaller tau squared, and the confidence interval for that is very wide, from 0 to 2.8. That's because we only have, in this case, two agencies. But the confidence interval for the risk ratio is very reasonable, 0.17 to 1.2. Using data from additional space agencies is going to improve these estimates and the generalizability of these results. Going back to the figure from Brockwell, remember we only have k equals 2, and tau squared could be anywhere from 0 to 2.8, and they only considered tau squared from 0 to 0.1. So in conclusion, the meta-analytic methods provide a practical solution for combining data across space agencies, and they only require non-attributable data. The profile likelihood function, or profile likelihood method, likely offers the best solution. There are other methods that are available, but they're less well established, and they're primarily concerned with unpublished data, which all of our data, they're primarily concerned with adjusting for unpublished, for publication bias. But in our case, we have only unpublished results. But the important, the most challenging part of this is going to be defining the measures of associations. They need to be very clearly defined, very uniformly defined across the space agencies. If I run a logistic regression to estimate an odds ratio adjusted for age, then all of the space agencies need to adjust for age. We need to define the subgroup definitions very clearly, the outcome measures, and define any interactions or effect modifiers that may exist. I'd like to acknowledge just a few colleagues who have participated in this effort, including Mary Ware, who is present in the audience today, and April Clark, who is also present in the audience today, and Sarah Mason from Wiley Integrated Science and Engineering, Mary Van Balen and Kathy Johnson-Throop from NASA Johnson Space Center, and Lilia Simeva and Rustim Kaspronsky from the Russian Space Agency. We listed a few select references for you, and thank you very much for your time.
What are the advantages of this advantage towards a random index model?
Well, with respect to disadvantages, I don't know that there's any real disadvantage to using a random effects model over a fixed effects model. They generally approach the same results when there's not heterogeneity. But if there is heterogeneity, then the random effects model is going to provide much better, much more accurate results. The random effects model really accounts for that variation between agencies. And I think that's something that's going to be very important here, because the Russian space program trains their cosmonauts very differently than we train ours. The Japan Space Agency trains their astronauts different from us. And not to mention lifestyle differences across the populations and so forth. So I think that in this case, accounting for the random effect, or using the random effect model to account for those variations, is going to be very important, because you can try to identify how much variation exists between the agencies.
But having said that, then, have you considered a generalized linear mixed model?
I have not considered a generalized linear mixed model. That is another option. There are also Bayesian approaches to these methods. Did you have a specific?
The reason I asked this was question, mm-hmm. I agree that there are many disadvantages. I would think that the generalized linear mixed model would take up any fixed effects that you have. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yes, that's a very good point. That's a very good point, yes.
Any other questions for our speakers? We don't have our fourth speaker today.
All right. Thank you very much.